What's up, guys? Andy Blythe here. Welcome to episode one of my Andy Blythe guest series. Today I joined Shaman Morton on his No Room to Talk podcast. Check it out.
All right, people, welcome back. No Room to Talk podcast, episode 22. As promised, coming to you today, special guest, super excited. First interview, I told you I was going to get the interviews, it was coming. So I'm so happy to welcome you to UK comic, Andy Blythe. Andy, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, I'm a comedian, I'm English, bit of a wanker, bit of a twat, pretty much hate everything. And that's the bulk of it, really. I tend to just sort of run off my mouth at things that really annoy me, things that really shouldn't annoy me, and I sort of state the obvious about things that people just socially accept, which they shouldn't, and yeah, just go off on that, because it's an annoying world we live in.
That's like the short of it right there. I mean, you know, and I think I appreciate people like yourself, like comedians, because it's really what we need right now. Like, we've gotten to a point where it's too stupid on the left, too stupid on the right. People see things and you know you should react to them in a certain way, but you can't. They're like split social, like, I don't care. I'm going to say retarded shit.
Yeah.
People don't want you to even say the word retarded, but like, I'm going to die on that hill. Like, the word retard is mine. I'm taking that back. And it's just really bizarre how the world is now. It seems so uptight.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you can't even sort of leave the front door and say hello to your postman without offending him because he is a she or something. Do you know what I mean? It's just, you can't communicate with anyone without someone getting offended anymore. It's horrible.
No, it's absolutely, I think that's the crazy thing. When you're talking about getting offended, like, that's the real thing. Like, people wake up looking for what's going to piss them off that day.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
And instead of just saying fuck it, just keep it fucking moving. Like, that's the real thing.
I just don't understand at what point in our lives in humankind have we made that decision to go, Joe, what? I want to cry about everything. Because we used to just accept life isn't fair, and some people say things that other people don't agree with. But that's gone now. We have to try and sue everyone or make everyone apologize for shit that you don't necessarily agree with, and it's just.
No, it's super overwhelming because you think about it. Okay, like you said, you see someone and they look like a female to you.
Yeah.
And you say, "Excuse me, ma'am," and it's like, "Oh, this is how," and like, it was my mistake. But you're wearing, it's like, I don't go up to a police officer and say, like, excuse me, doctor. You know, like, I know, like, I already know you've got the uniform, you're wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
So, I mean, allow me to make a mistake. Don't assume that I'm like trying to take something from you or make you less than because I made a simple mistake.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know. So, all right. And so, comedian, like, what took you to be a comedian? Because that's something like people a lot of times say, oh, you should definitely do. It's like one of those things that people kind of turn their nose up at.
I'll tell you what it was. It started when I was young. You know, I was sort of the class clown at school, but not. I was never naughty. I just loved chatting and just making people laugh at school. But my big thing was screenwriting at the time, and sort of I used to visualize sitcoms and all of this shit. And I actually wrote a series when I was about 16, and it sort of went really well. Sort of co-wrote with a friend of mine, and. We had this sort of local production company. I approached them and I sort of sent them my scripts and stuff. And they said, you know, this is fantastic. We had a meeting and they said, yeah, you know, we want to put this together. We want to do this for you. And I thought, fucking hell, you know, that was easy. You know, it was a bit bizarre. And then I sort of realized after about 6 months of chasing them for this contract and all of this other stuff, turns out they were just a massive waste of skin. And shit was never going to happen. But that initial buzz was what really sort of triggered my writing, and that sort of, that's at the backbone of everything I do in stand-up. It's because I want to write. So basically, like, my inspiration, the biggest inspiration for me is like Larry David, purely because sort of you can't see any of his stand-up anywhere online. You can search for hours and you won't find jack shit. But that was where it was. That was where he, you know, met Seinfeld and all the others. And that's the route I want to take. That's my journey. I want to, you know, just do enough in stand-up to get people to know my name. But the writing is the thing for me, ultimately, I think.
So it's like, that's something you've always been like connected to, like yeah. story, like, yeah. You know, like arcs and, you know, the whole, like the picture of beginning to end, you know, like the rise and the fall, like something that's like cohesive, coming together, it tells a story.
The thing for me, it was like, I love funny things and I can visualize a funny scene or a funny conversation. But when you're doing stand-up, you need almost a joke and a punchline, a joke and a punchline, story and a punchline. So I've had to really sort of adapt the way I approach comedy to do it funny for people in an audience. But yeah.
And like, that's one of the craziest things I always think, like how you guys get up there in front of all those people and it's like, you know, all the eyes on you and like, you're taking them on this ride. And it's like, you're kind of like mind fucking them to be with you in that moment. And that's gotta be like daunting to get up there in front of all those people.
Yeah, you take a risk every time you get out there and make a twat of yourself. But the thing is, I think I don't care what they think because the shit's funny to me. I know I'm funny as fuck. I just need everyone else to realize that's what it is. So, absolutely. You know, they might like me, they might not, but you know, eventually someone is going to like me. Someone's going to be like-minded and we'll go from there at that point.
You see, I love that attitude. Like that is, what I think it holds a lot of people back is that self, that change, that fear.
Yes, it's the voice in your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was one of the main reasons I started to do this podcast. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have circles of friends and people will tell you, hey, you know, you got a pretty good sense of humor. You're interesting. Why don't you do something? But it was that voice telling me like, no, I can't do it. So I tell people all the time, that's my number one thing. It's like, no, kill that fucking voice in your head.
Yeah.
Get out there, do something for yourself. Make something for yourself. You know, life is a movie. Like, do you want to be the star? Or do you want to be like one of the bit players? Be the fucking star in your circle. You know, do something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
So, like, I'm pretty sure like every comedian goes through it, and you can talk about it if you want. What is bombing like?
I'm trying to think of a good way to put this into words. Okay, I'm going to compare it to this. It's not so extreme as this. So, you know, if anyone's going to get offended by this, truly, I do apologize. But whenever I try and say something funny, there's an element of risk involved. So when you say a joke or you get to your punchline and you look out and you see there is not one person even smiling at you, it's almost like being like a prisoner in a concentration camp and you're turning around and looking at these Nazis closing the door on the chamber on you and you are just so alone. You know, there's other comedians with you, but if you're the headliner or if you're the sort of the warm up, you know, you're alone. It's you in the shower and you're as good as gone. It's devastating.
I couldn't imagine going out there and just dropping my fucking joke and just looking. It's not a soul with me.
Yeah, that's the trouble because, you know, when it's coming out of your brain and you're writing it down on a pad and with a pen and you think, well, this is dynamite. You think this is the joke that's going to get me on the telly. And it never is. And it's the best ones that just get you nothing. Yeah, it's hard. Then you just do it again next week.
And that's also another dangerous thing about being a comic. It's like, okay, you tell this joke. They're fucking jokes, all right? Like, if I say, it's like, hey, this is a fucked up thing we used to say. And it's like, you want to, you know, kick a baby. Like, we just go to China and get a throwaway baby.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, it's a funny sort of thing to think. Just like they're just throwing babies away. Because it's like, it's another girl. Get rid of that one. But that was a legit thing. But, of course, no one means actually kick a real fucking child. But it's a goofy, off-the-wall thing to say, and that's what comedy is. It's like of course it's not real, but what if it was?
Yeah, it's just a twist on reality. Half the shit you say, you don't genuinely believe it, but it's all about the reaction. All you want is someone to laugh back at you and for you to feel like you're entertaining them. That's the core of it.
Exactly. That's why I said, just get out of your feelings for a minute. Yeah. What are you doing? Like, come on. So how are comedy events there, like your show? Like, how are you doing? Because it's kind of locked. It is locked down here.
So we had the initial lockdown back in March, and all the comedy clubs, everything shut down, and it went online, and I struggled to really get on board with it. So I sort of did a few of my own TikToks, and I sort of pushed my Instagram a little bit more, and it's just depressing because you never get a response from anyone. You're just looking at your camera and that's it. And I'm not someone who's motivated by likes online. I can't stand that crowd. But after lockdown, and you could sort of get back in the comedy clubs, they were doing sort of socially distanced seating. And then there's a period, I think just before the end of lockdown, where we were doing sort of outdoor concerts and that kind of thing. But again, I could never really get on board with it because nobody ever bring a mic and speaker. You'd be shouting to people and I need to hold something. It just threw me off, and I just couldn't really get on with it. And it's been a while now since I've got up in front of people and said some jokes. It's a bit sad.
Yeah, I can imagine, because like being a stand-up comic, like you need a crowd. You need an audience.
Yeah.
Like you can't just like this conversation we're having here, like between the two of us, of course, we'll like say something stupid, make each other laugh here, but you need to feel that crowd's energy when you're out there, to see someone balling up after the last fucking thing you just said,
Exactly.
Getting that energy and keep hitting them with those punchlines.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And speaking of like the lockdown, like here in the States, it's really crazy because we are two different minds, people wearing masks, not people not wanting to wear masks, and we'll fucking fight you in the fucking streets over that shit, no less. Like, we've had like old people get their ass beat over this shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous, there's been just, it's so bizarre to see this world over fucking mask, and it's just, I don't know. And then you can't leave, and now we got these new restrictions coming in because we have a new president coming in.
Yeah,
a lot of people are happy, a lot of people aren't happy. and that's also bizarre. So how is America being viewed? Like, are we like a punchline?
It's such a. I don't really know half the time, because they're telling you about Trump and they're telling you about Biden, and it's so hard to even pick a side. I mean, obviously Trump is always so negatively viewed, and I mean, we had back in 2016, over 500,000 people signed a petition to ban him from coming to the country. So that kind of shows the overwhelming views on Trump. But I think it's general relief. I think that Biden is eventually going to get into the White House. Eventually,
if he ever is allowed on the fucking steps.
But what's the score with that now? So is Trump still saying no? No.
Oh no, no. Yo, he can. Hey, Biden can forget it. There's no invite. Low. He has like 56 days left in the White House till January 20th. I believe it's January 20th.
Right.
He's not leaving until like January 21st, 12 a.m. Like that's how dug in he is. and the most bizarre thing with our election, we had like people saying, like, hey, on one side, stop counting the votes. And then on the other side, no, keep counting the votes. But you're for the same guy, but you're sending a different message. And I don't even call it like patriotism as far as Trump goes. It's more of like a zealot, like these people are like, Obama was president. That was great. I never said I would die for Obama. I wouldn't give my entire worth to this. But one thing I will say about the right party is they go hard for their side. Like they rep harder than, and you see them out there.
Yeah.
And do you, I wouldn't imagine y'all would have anything similar to that.
No, when it comes to that kind of thing, as far as we go, it's just putting shit on buses. That's pretty much it. We put shit on buses, and so we don't even have billboards in England. So it's literally just buses, and it's all lies. And that's...
Yeah, and that's the big thing that I think we have here is you don't know if you're being told the truth.
No.
Nine times out of 10, you know you're not being told the truth. And it's a real mind fuck.
So what I tell you what, obviously Trump's saying about how, you know, all the votes are nonsense. Where do you stand with that? Do you think it's all a bit dodgy, the voting?
Here's the thing. What I believe is in any election, there is some level of voter fraud. There just is. I mean, right. The numbers would say that there are. Mm. Like any time there's a winner and a loser in something, there's always reason for someone to try to cheat.
Yeah,
like that's abundantly obvious. But I don't think in this election, because of so how close it was, I don't know if there was a real fuck to do about getting him out. Now, granted, it's there because to every conspiracy, there's a small grain of truth, and no one wanted Trump out of office more so than the left political side.
Yeah,
so. Could there have been some fuckery? There could be. But to that level, I don't know. But again, we have all kinds of fucking conspiracies that seem to kind of jive. If you can put some of the pieces together, maybe not all of them. So, and there's a level of truth here because there have been proven to be voter fraud at times.
The thing is, like, I don't know whether anyone else, you know, in the US has thought of this. I would assume so. But from the outside looking in, I'm just thinking back to when Trump got in originally and everyone was, you know, saying it was Russia and there was all of this sort of, you know, voting conspiracies saying about that. And I think, well, surely if it could have been dodgy for Trump, it could be dodgy now because shit hasn't changed.
Exactly. But here's, and this is the whole total mindfuck is in 2016, it was the left side saying, oh, there had to be something wrong with it.
Yeah.
And now in this election, it's the right saying something's wrong with it. I'm like, so basically what you're telling us is our whole system is fucked anyway.
Yeah, it is.
And we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
The most bizarre thing about our whole political system is we have, everyone says it's a three-party system, which is bullshit. It is a one-party system for the 1% of our nation. How do you have Supreme Court justices that you have a job that you reign until you die? I don't know any job that you work until you die. And some of these people, I am 43. We had some people who had served as a justice when my mother was a little girl. So much has changed in society. But they're still that old dinosaur with that same old way of thinking. So that's why we stay stuck for so long in these fucking old, decrepit laws.
Why are there no young people wanting to be president? Why is that? What, you know, Trump was what? How old is Trump? 70 or something?
I think he's like 73.
73 or 70.
Like 73, 72.
And then Biden's obviously something like 80 or something. It's like, come on.
Biden's like dust. I mean,
how has that happened?
What? He is so old.
He must be so far from reality for youth and stuff. I can't understand.
That is the thing. Because they put an age restriction on when you can even run for office.
Yeah.
Which I believe you're still in your 40s when you can run. But still, like, you need, if someone has better ideas, why would you put an age gap on? And we all know the president is really just a figurehead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he still doesn't have supreme rule over the country. But, like, we do need new life, new ways of thinking to come in and change this. I mean, we're still rocking this shit. A lot of the stuff from, like, 1776.
Yeah.
I mean, like... All right, it was cool when you had a couple of colonies to rule over. You could kind of speak for everyone. It's over fucking, 4 billion people? Like, I don't know the number. Yeah. But you can't have one guy speak for us all. It doesn't make sense to me.
No. Do you think there'll ever be a split in the US or between the North and the South?
And I'm like, you know, if you had to ask me maybe like a year ago, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Well, you ask me now, I'm like, I don't think so, but maybe. Like, you don't. Like,
you just never know.
No, because everyone's so on edge and everybody wants to be so right. And no one wants to compromise. No one wants to see, well, how are you seeing this? Okay, well, this is how I'm seeing it. And having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, conversations now are just, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and you're going to change your mind. Point blank. Like, no, there is no, I'm not going to see anything your way. And that's from both sides. And the craziest thing is, and people on the fucking left don't realize it, you're becoming psychos.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say, like, you're trying to save everything. Like, hey, I'm sorry. If you have white guilt, I'm sorry. But you don't have to, like, champion every fucking cause, because not every fucking incident needs to be, you know, front page all over social media. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that's what I think a lot of it is there too, is like just people just out there white knighting and caping for shit that they really don't have to.
Yeah, it must be so weird with the, how there is still so much like prominent racism in the US. Because don't get me wrong, that, you know, there is still some in England, but you know, it's so small and so insignificant. You know, you sort of go about your day to day life and you just don't see it.
Yeah, and that's one of the, like, the crazy things. Like, people always wanted to put on the Trump administration, like, he's a racist. Let's see. I'm going to call him an out-and-out racist, but I know he's super racially insensitive.
Yeah.
To what's going on. And I know for a fact, not everyone who voted for Trump was a racist. But I do know every racist voted for Trump.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's like, you can say that. And the racism, which I have no idea why this happened, but now it just feels like you always knew it was there. It was like an undercurrent to a river. Yeah. Like, you know, things on surface level, you know, nice and calm, but you know, you peel back one layer and I just think now people are more, especially with like the internet, you know, social media, you can put your hate out there.
I hate social media so much. It is the bane of my life. It is the worst thing in, don't get me wrong, technology is amazing. The steps we've made in the last 20 years is just amazing. But we're killing off the core parts of being human, conversation and face to face and things like that. It's just gone. And you know, talentless people are just making fuck tons of money online now doing nothing. And it's social media and it goes the other way. And you've got all these people who, you know, they'd be bullied at school and they sort of, they'd get home and, you know, years ago, that would have been the end of it. But now you can't get away from it when you get home from school, because you've got the internet and you've got social media and you've got everyone who's egging you on at home, you know, making you feel like shit. For the record, I've never been bullied in my life. So I don't know what it's like, but it's out there, and there's so many people who get cyberbullied and they end up, you know, topping themselves or doing, you know, bad shit. And it's just, and people get depressed about social media because they haven't got many likes. And it's just, we're humans. We need to talk. We've got mouths for talking, not fingers for typing.
Absolutely. That's like what I've also noticed, like a really big thing about like social media, because you're living through snapshots. And the snapshots are only like, you know, the frosting of the cake.
Oh, yeah.
It's what I want you to see. It's what I want everyone to perceive. Like, these cars are rented. The jewelry is rented. The houses, the vacations are paid for by companies to put you there. There's filters. These people aren't real. That's not reality.
Yeah.
And when you try to live your life through someone else's, like, existence, when you change who you are to be one of them and to get, you know, these likes and follows to make yourself feel old, like, that is a hole that you will never feel. Like, you can try all you want, but you are emotionally broken because you've given yourself to that, you know, 4.5-inch piece of glass in your hand.
The thing is, as well, like with the staged photos, I literally saw one yesterday and it set me off because it's, I'm sure you'd have seen it, you know, you get a family, newborn baby, and there is always, without fail, a photo of them holding the baby asleep. Every fucking time, there is always a bullshit photo of someone lying there holding the baby asleep. And it's a lie because you know, as well as I do, they're lying there, they're covered in shit, they're covered in vomit, they're not getting any sleep. That's a lie.
No, fuck, no. It's like, again, it's just, and what the fuck are you just throwing that baby's picture up online? Just like,
I know, boy.
That's like the first thing. And now you don't accept moments. You're looking for, no, stay like that. We gotta post this picture. Like, instead of, hey, no, that was a moment you had.
Exactly, it's looking for perfection instead of imperfection. Life is imperfect. They're exactly. The moments to treasure.
Exactly, but no, we're so accustomed to like, oh, how many likes I get? And people will lose their shit if you don't like something. Like, people will run away and say, hey, you didn't like my picture. Like, I saw it. That was cool. Like, why did I have to like tap on it?
Why do you need that thumb up in the corner of the screen to make you feel better about this? But it's when people, like you say, go on and get these financed cars that they're paying a couple of hundred a month for, and it's like, but that's not yours. It's like it's this thing where I need to impress strangers who I don't know. I'm never gonna know, but I care what they think about me.
Exactly. And then you get the quote unquote fitness models. Sorry, you're a whore. That's what you're doing it for, because you're just out there for one reason, and that's thirst trapping. And that is what your job is. Like, and what the fuck? And then that sends a message to young women, like, okay, this is all I have to do. This is really all I'm worth, you know? And you can say, oh no, that doesn't really happen. Trust me, it fucking does.
Oh, literally, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. It's like, and it's not just girls, you know, men with six packs do the same, I think, but yeah, predominantly you get a lot of these women and when they're girls, they're growing up, and gone are the days where they're, you know, and I'm talking about not you know, the minority still, that, you know, they grow up and instead of thinking, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, or, you know, I want to be a scientist, they grow up thinking, well, you know, that woman there in a bikini is earning £300,000 a day or a week by selling pictures of her bare feet online. So that's what I want to do. That's what my aspiration is. I want to send pictures of my flesh to other people. and maybe if they're lucky, I'll get some, you know, almost all my tits out and a bit of my fanny out, and people will pay money for that. So that's what I want to do. Don't want to be a doctor. Yeah, don't want a career. I want to just earn shit tons of money, and it's not going to get them happiness, because you know, where's the job satisfaction in just exploiting yourself? Don't get me wrong, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If someone would pay a shit ton of money for my feet, my fucking dried crusty feet, fucking by all means, they're yours, 20 quid.
This is the thing I was like, if you can get the money, hey, who am I to tell you how to knock? Like, I'm not going to knock your hustle.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, though, what are we doing here? Like people who just open boxes. Boxes are things that you can purchase for yourself if you just want one, but you're going to watch them and pay them money to open boxes. So you give them more money to open bigger boxes. So you give them more money to open bigger boxes. It's like, Why are you doing this?
Yeah, like, but it came to me as well years ago when people first started watching other people watch people play Minecraft online in videos, and they're live streaming them playing a game. It was, just play the fucking game. What are you watching someone else play a game that you've got?
It is the most bizarre thing. Like, why am I sitting here in front of my computer watching someone in front of their computer that I can just be doing myself?
Oh, it kills me. I swear to God.
A lot of people, oh, these streamers are entertaining. I've watched a couple streams. it's just you randomly talking to yourself while you're playing a game. There's no real, I don't understand the logic behind it, but hey, but I'm not the target demographic, so I'm not a Ninja fan, so And the crazy thing, I only found out about Ninja through a TMZ post when Drake jumped into one of his streams. And that's the only way I know who this kid was. That was it. But it's so bizarre how, I mean, the internet has just really like changed the game for finding your niche, finding people. Because there are people out there that will give you money for the most bizarre things.
Oh, this is what got me with TikTok. It is... you get yourself into dark TikTok and you're finding people slaughtering chickens, or they're showing you like what happens to meat in factories. And, you know, you've gone from that after just watching some random idiot mime a song. They're not even singing and they'll end up with like 300,000 views. And it's like, what? And the maximum video length is like 59 seconds. So you can't even keep people's attention for very long. It's people are fucked now. After this are fucked.
No, TikTok, every video that anyone's ever showed me of a TikTok video is of the worst forms of humanity. You know, it's just the strangest backwoods, inbred, toothless, alcohol, diseased. It is so bizarre, but yet, I will give them this. They are confident in who the fuck they are.
Well, yeah, they are. I tell you, but what annoys me the most is that you got these. Well, a lot of these people are earning money and stuff from getting big on TikTok. And I swear to God, if TikTok wasn't there, they'd be doing nothing. They'd be sat at home doing nothing with their life. It's made it easy for, like me, whether TikTok was there or not, I'd still be trying to get to comedy clubs and I'd still be honing my craft. But that's not what happens anymore, because people don't even need to be funny. They just need to say words like bitch and yeah, shout or fuck your granddad up or something in videos on TikTok. And a lot of English people find that hilarious. That the demographic they're after, all these uni students and stuff, they find that's the funniest thing in the world, and it blows up. And fucking, oh, I wish I could get them.
I mean, it's stuff like... people laying in a tub full of Jell-O.
Yeah.
And that'll get like a million likes and a million follows. And it's like,
where's the talent?
What is he? All right. I mean, I can go fill up a tub now. Like, if that's what you want to say. Like, give me money. I mean, I have two tubs. I mean, I'll fill them both up with different flavors. You know what I mean? But it's like, why are we doing this? Like, how did this become like a thing? I mean, I saw a guy in a cat mask meowing. Just meowing.
Just meowing. Yeah. Nothing else.
That's all.
I mean, presumably he would have been licking the back of his wrist as well. Surely.
He should have went the extra mile and groomed himself while he was meowing.
That's, I mean, if you're going to do a cat, fucking do it right. Otherwise, just don't even start the camera.
But like, what is like TikTok? I don't understand it. Like, I don't get the appeal at all. Granted, I like seeing fucked up videos. Like, that's always a good time for me. I just saw a guy. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have backyard wrestling over there.
No, we don't do it, but we've seen videos.
And we just see this dude jump and fall, and his knee hyperextends to a point where it falls up and kicks him in his stomach. I mean, it's that gross. But I like things like that. Like, those things bring me joy.
Yeah, you can appreciate that. Yeah.
But TikTok is on a bizarre scale that's just even beyond me.
I mean, Jason Derulo has managed to do incredibly well out of it.
How did you turn that into a, like, yeah, I thought you were like an accomplished singer, and now you're just like a TikTok superstar.
Yeah, now he's got bigger than he's ever been, ever. Exactly. Through TikTok.
I think more people know Jason Derulo through TikTok than they know through his music career.
Oh, especially that single that he released the other week or last month or whenever. I swear to God, I've never heard that otherwise, because of TikTok, and everybody else has got it in their TikTok videos. I fucking know the words to it.
I have no idea. I guess he's trying to clean his sins for that horrible cat movie that he was associated with.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I still won't watch. Those those cats. I don't know. It was that Uncanny Valley about it. Was something very odd about those cats. And I can't watch it.
No, I don't blame you. What are you drinking there?
This is a Modelo Negro.
Oh.
Pretty good. I like them more than I like the Coronas. I got on a Corona kick for a little while.
Okay. What during COVID?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Of course.
Alcohol has definitely gone up here in the States. There's been a lot more alcohol consumption. What the fuck else are you gonna do?
Well, are you still working at the moment, or are you literally locked down to the point?
The business, the 9 to 5 that I work, I've been working the entire time.
Oh, okay.
I would say that, you know, my company kind of used our job to say, hey, you know, we're essential. And that's how we were able to keep going. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I will say I was pissed off because a lot of people I work with were furloughed and they had the unemployment stimulus was in effect. People made more money when they sat at home rather than when they went to work.
Yeah.
And I still had to go to work. But that is what it is. But it was really crazy because that's all the story that I kept hearing is how much money I have. But you can't spend it, so fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the cinemas and the bars and the clubs are open, so fuck them.
No, and that's the craziest thing. It's like everything is just at a complete standstill.
I tell you what I want to know. Is ISIS and Al-Qaeda, are all of they on furlough as well? Because I've not seen a peep out of them. What are they doing in the desert and you know, wherever they are in their caves? Are they all furloughed?
I think they're socially distancing. So, you know, they can't have these militia troops out on patrol and terrorizing other nations right now. So they're going to take a small stance, social distance, and keep us all from terrorism.
Plus,
the world gets back to work.
I suppose, you know, as a suicide bomber, you know, you don't want to die of COVID, do you? That's a pretty shit way to go.
Okay, can you imagine? Like, he's ready, suited up, zipped up, dynamite, and just one call. And like, I can't. Not today. You know, he's just sitting there. It's like, nah, I believe I got to go get tested first before I run to this town square. This town square with his vest on, I have to go get a test.
It amazes me because I thought, if anything, you get sort of undercover ISIS. They'd be going through hospitals and stuff, trying to get themselves infected. And then they'd just be like running into schools and shit. Just like just coughing on people. Just, you know.
I can just imagine now, like in the new bomber, it's just a guy going in with a really bad head cold, just sneezing on everyone.
He's just got like a couple of squirty guns, just fill up with his saliva, just
licking all the surfaces, just going mad. Oh my, that's a real thing. Like, we haven't heard anything
Nothing.
About anything, and again, that's why I think like a lot of this shit is just a cover up to keep people's attention on other shit than what's actually going on.
Yeah, I sort of think that because, you know, it's so unlikely that you have all this terrorism and then all of a sudden it stops for COVID. And then as soon as, you know, life gets back to normal, they'll be back again.
Exactly.
Or there'll be something else that keeps everyone's attention. And it always gets you sort of, well, what's actually going on behind the scene there? What am I not hearing about?
No, and like I said, and that's another thing with like celebrities. They're always there to misdirect the public attention. You know, it always seems to be something that's more important. It's somebody's life that you know nothing about, but yet you've deemed to be a certain kind of individual.
Yeah.
And that holds your attention than actual real problems going on, you know, in this world, in our countries that are not being addressed. But, you know, hey, Kylie Jenner just signed a new deal and she may be pregnant. So that's going to hold my attention right now.
Yeah, I mean,
why?
Amongst all the deaths and all the non-deaths and just, you know, pretend infection rates and real infection rates and all of that. You know, the most important thing is that she has a healthy birth and she's okay. Yeah, that's all we really care about. Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And the ability to always end with, we're praying for you. Or,
oh, of course. Of course. Yeah.
You know, praying hands.
Yeah. Praying. You know, praying for science. Like, that's what I pray for.
And that's the thing. Like, why are baby births so, like, newsworthy? Like, there is over, like, what, 10 billion people on the planet? I think we know how to fucking have babies. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to know whether David Beckham and Posh are going to have another baby. You know, if,
I mean, he's got a dick and she's got a vagina and they come together and they make babies, right?
So, yeah, okay, yeah. Sometimes they do.
Now, if you tell me like David Beckham and I don't know, like this guy, pick another guy, Pierce Bronson. They had a baby together.
Yeah.
Then I would want to know about that.
Yeah, that's a bit more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you tell me two beautiful men have made another beautiful man together. Yeah. I will accept that.
Yeah, some kind of hybrid man that all other men will now aspire to be, because let's face it, that kind of beauty can't just be made naturally. That's the test tube shit.
I know, but both those men's raw sex appeal and just animal, just you would make the second coming of Jesus if they could make a baby.
I think if they managed to mix the spermatozoa together, even the sperm would smolder. It would smolder.
They would have the absolute most gorgeous child.
Yeah. Or if I don't know, Judi Dench decided to get knocked up, that would be interesting. Or Meryl Streep.
A very handsome woman. Meryl Streep is a very handsome woman.
It would be interesting because, you know, she's old as fuck. So that's why I'd want to know about that. But people who are, you know, middle-aged and younger, have a baby. I don't care.
No, it happens. Like, give me something that I would want to be like, holy shit, how did that happen?
Yeah.
But a regular baby is just a regular baby. And, like I have a stance. People love to show pictures of babies. Like, oh, look at my baby. I have two problems with that.
Yeah.
One, if your child's ugly, I may say something.
I seldom see a baby I don't think is ugly. I swear to God, I every baby I see, I think, well, it's got a lot of frown lines there. You know, is he really just been born, or has he been on Earth throughout 40 years? He's just not grown. Like, what's his deal? Have you found him? Is he some kind of street baby? Is he grown underground?
What is up with his forehead? Why does his eyes have a real weird squint to it? He's not Downs, is he? No, okay. I'm just.
it's when you get the baggy skin, like all up them. They're all just all baggy skin everywhere, and that's. They go, well, what's wrong with it? They go, nothing. He's a baby. Well, why has he got so much skin? He's small. Yeah, he doesn't need that much skin.
Like, do you grow into your skin? Like, is that little bones? Like, what the fuck is going on with your child? Like,
is he deflated?
Does he have Benjamin Button? Because he looks 80.
Like, I can blow him up a bit. He's losing air.
Like, that's the problem. Or, just don't show me a picture unless there's an Amber Alert. Like, are they missing? Okay, if they're not missing, I don't need to see a picture.
Yeah, no, quite right. I agree with that. Yeah, if it's missing, then I'll have a look. Or, you know, if there's an obvious deformity, I might take an interest because, you know, it's deformed. So,
that's always a good time because you're like, hey, like one baby's arm is more gigantic than his right arm. It's like, geez, what did you do? And it's just like, that's what I want to see. Like something really odd, really strange about your baby. That's fine. But if it's a regular baby, I see regular babies all the time.
Well, it's when you see it and you go, I swear to God, I've seen that baby before. I swear to God, that's not your baby. I've fucking seen that baby somewhere. Or another one, I've seen one and I go, honestly, that looks like a burglar. It's got the face of a fucking criminal. I could just see him pointing a gun or holding a knife to my neck while I have to give him my wallet. I could just imagine it.
Just a scowling baby, all the time. Like,
and I'm sort of checking my pockets the whole time, and I sort of give him back to the, like if I've actually gone around to visit the baby, and I give the baby back to the mum, and I'm checking my fucking prick. I had 20 quid in my wallet. It's gone.
Son of a bitch.
Fucking rings are gone.
Just me mugging you every time you come in the house. Yeah. It's like, why is this fucking baby eyeballing me? Like,
and you mention it to the mom, and you say, where's my money gone? I go, what are you talking? And they start screaming at you, and then you're not allowed around the house anymore because you accuse their baby of stealing, but it's a fucking thief. What else you going to call it?
Yeah, thieving baby. Another thing I'd like is the craziest thing. Of course, we hear in America, as soon as we hear an accent, it's always, you have like, it's like, no, I'm going to listen to this guy because it seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you do an American accent?
I'll tell you what, if I'd sunk a few more beers, I probably could. Maybe another time. I need to practice.
Because that is like the crazy thing, because I'm pretty sure you see American actors trying to do a UK accent all the time.
Yeah.
Some of them with very horrible displays.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say though, back when Sherlock Holmes came out, Robert Downey Jr., he did a pretty good one. I have to say, Robert Downey, he can do a British accent. I'll give him that.
Robert Downey is a human unicorn. The man can do no wrong.
Yeah.
That's one thing, because like I grew up as an army brat, so I spent a lot of time in Germany. So I came up knowing about a lot of like British humor.
Yeah,
it was closer here, and there are several like differences between. Have you ever done any stand up in like from an American audience?
No, it's on my bucket list. A big thing for me. I want to do it. Sort of, obviously, probably not next year. Maybe the year after. I sort of want to get over to New York and try and hit up a couple of open mics or something. Because I just think the atmosphere would be so much better. Because the thing is, you have to bear in mind, when I'm in a room full of other English people, we all sound the same, and you know, I don't stand out, and people just look at this guy and go, well, you know. He's not very good looking. He's not very tall. He's not short. He's not really fit. He's not skinny. It doesn't. His hair's a bit shit. And I don't. There's nothing likable about him. So they just forget about me. And then the next guy, he looks exactly the same as me, but he's taller and skinnier. He's wearing a shit jumper, and so he looks shit as well. We all just blend together, English comedians. It's rubbish unless you're bald. If you're bald, you stand out a bit more because of the glare on your head. But because
there is like a difference between American humor and British humor.
Oh, massive difference, yeah.
But like I said, I grew up like a preacher because I grew up on the Monty Pythons. Like, of course, everyone knows Benny Hill.
Which yeah,
I watched Benny Hill for the tits. it is a different form. I mean, funny is funny, but there are like real different nuances to British humor and American humor.
Yeah, they totally are. I do genuinely find where most of my sort of my inspirations are all American, like literally Larry David, Seinfeld, Kevin Hart, and people like that. They're Adam Sandler, you know, old school Jim Carrey. Steve Martin. They're the G's. They're the fucking guys I want to be like. But you know, the English comedians, half of them, I can't stand. Ricky Gervais is the only one that I could sit down and I could fucking talk to that guy for years. But all the Stephen Merchant as well, because he's a absolute fucking freak of nature. But yeah, no, other comedians are just, I don't know whether it's because, you know, I'm sort of competing with them or whether they don't like me. I can't find them very funny. I just, like Michael McIntyre. Do you know who Michael McIntyre is?
I have no idea who Michael McIntyre is.
Okay, well, I won't even talk about him because he's not worthy of it.
Okay.
and that sums up, you know, most of this. Don't get me wrong, some of them are good. Have you heard of, you must know Jimmy Carr?
Yes. Yeah. I've heard Jimmy Carr.
He's good. Him and Ricky Gervais are probably the best ones. Obviously, have you heard of Russell Howard?
Yes. That's one I've heard of. He's kind of I haven't seen a lot of his stand-up.
Yeah. It's not so much me, but, you know, you can appreciate the craft that goes into him. I think he's good as well. But yeah, no, for me, all of my sort of comedy inspirations are all American, which I think is why I've sort of always been driven to wanting to perform in front of Americans more than English people. Plus, obviously, English people are like the target of all of my jokes, so they don't really laugh at themselves very well.
Because yeah, that's like
90% of the audience have all got babies, which I don't like. So,
right? Yeah, like that's like really like one of the things, because there aren't a lot of like standout British comedians that we know like over here. Like,
no.
Of course, you know, Ricky Gervais, like you said, is the number one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you were to ask like 10 people, no, nine of them are going to tell you Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Mainly for like the work that he did with the Office before I came here to the States.
Of course,
stand up and his work in movies, which is also something like I didn't even really know about The Office, and it's one of the shows that like I just can't watch because it's kind of awkwardness, and I internalize other people's awkwardness in some kind of weird way. So.
Right. Yeah, I think. The original Office is so British, like it's so British. The subtlety of it, the sarcasm, it's so dry that it's not obvious humor. So I think generally, sort of American people tend to find, I don't know, it's hard to explain, like. Obvious comedy, I prefer it myself as well. I just prefer it. I don't know. It's hard to explain, really.
To me, what I've always enjoyed about British humor, it's like snarkiness. It's like cutting, you know. But it's like it seems like every punchline, every like joke, it has like a little cut to it. It's not just like these are laughs at your expense.
Yeah.
We're not laughing together. I'm laughing at you. That's the kind of feeling that I've always enjoyed about that.
And this is the thing. So English people, they generally have this sort of, I'm trying to think of a good example. Say I was talking to someone and they're eating some food and they got some food stuck in their teeth. Most English people, they just ignore it. I can't fucking ignore it. A, because it's heinous to look at someone with a bit of broccoli in their teeth. And because I'm with the guy, it's embarrassing for me to see him. This guy can't eat his food properly. So I'm on him straight away. As soon as you've got food on your fucking mouth. What are you, a kid? Tidy yourself up, man. I can't have it. And I'll tell you something else that gets to me. It the other day... I could do this every day of the week because there's always something else the other day that bugged me. So I can't put too much detail into it because people who might listen to this will know. But this guy, he started complaining about how his packet of crisps were half empty. Now, that's really been and gone. The rage about how packets of crisps are always half empty, it's fucking dead. You know, people were angry about that when I was about 3 years old. People were still ranting about how their crisps had five crisps in it, or they'd buy a small packet of cookies and there'd be five cookies in there. And it's like, how the fuck are you still angry about that? Man.
It is what it is. You already know that. Like, you always get air with your chips.
Okay, when I'm opening up the bag, I'm not expecting... Who has ever opened a bag of crisps where they've been full to the brim?
No, it is a concept and a joke and a story and been over and over and over.
Oh, it's being killed.
It's one of those things, like, you know you're getting fucked at the door. Like, you come to accept that. Like, you're getting fucked at the door. So it's a cost of doing business. You're going to get half what you pay for when you buy shit like that. Like,
stop buying them if they ruin your day. Stop eating. Stop buying crisps and cookies if you're going to get so offended by them being half full. Just fucking eat fruit then, you fat prick. For fuck's sake. You're killing me.
They're doing you a fucking favor because you keep shoveling those fucking chips in your fucking fat face. So they're saying, hey, fat boy, I'm going to give you this fucking
try coke. Half a bag, man. Have half a bag, half a sandwich, half a slice of cake, and maybe you might lose some weight.
They're telling you not to eat the fucking chips. Like, by doing that, if you're getting that, like, don't eat the chips. There you go, you fat bastard.
Yeah. Why don't you just inhale the air? Because you inhale the rest of the crisps anyway. Just inhale the fucking air that goes with it.
Oh, my goodness. No, and that's like food, especially food here. It's just like, hey, how can we make people as fat as possible? Like, that's the number one thing here. Because all the food here is so unhealthy. Like,
Yeah.
it's really unhealthy. Like, how can we supersize? Like, I went to Burger King the other day, got a medium
Yeah.
drink. It's like a fucking extra large. Like, holy fuck. Like, this is a medium? Like, this is a fucking medium? Like, what the fuck? What is the, like, do I get like a thermos when I get a fucking large? Like, I don't, like, it is so much fucking sugar and shit. And like, everything like tastes good. No. And they want to give you more. Like, it's a good fucking thing. It's not a
Yeah.
good thing to give people more fucking heart attacks. It's not giving people extra cholesterol with those fries. Like, and that's what the fuck you're doing. Like, you want people to be like fucking heifers out on the fucking grains field, like just fat.
The social acceptance of fat people has just gone up now. You can't go after someone because they're fat anymore. You have to accept that they're fat now. You can't have a go at them over it. There's so many women who keep calling themselves thick instead of fat. They keep saying all the thick girls, and it's like, stop calling yourselves thick. It might make you feel better, but it does not take the strain off your heart. You're still fat. Your arteries are still clogged. You're saying a different word for fat is not making you healthier. You're still fat.
No, just because you've accepted to give up doesn't mean I don't know that you have probably a good chance of congestive heart failure. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm looking at their bodies, and they're 20 stone or whatever, and it's like, if you were a car, you'd be written off by insurance. They would they'd either not insure you because you're a liability, or they wouldn't even put you back on the road. You'd say, just get a new model because this is knackered. Just take it down, scrap it, get a new one.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to, like, explain this to me. Like, why are your ankles folded into your shoe?
Exactly.
What is
I can't even see the top of your
that
shoes because they're hidden. They've got like an umbrella of skin around them.
extra? You look like melted ice cream. That's what you look
Yeah.
like. You look like a mound of melted ice cream. Like, it is the most bizarre thing. Oh, okay. So we saw a woman with a shopping cart. Literally had her body inside the shopping cart, pushing the shopping cart.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you not think that is a problem? Like,
Oh.
that you can actually carry your body while carrying your body? Like, that is like, come on.
It's like that episode of South Park where Stan has got his bollocks in the wheelbarrow, and he's just wheeling himself around, and for
That's what it
fuck's
looked like.
sake, come
That's what
on.
I did. And then we have all these fucking rascals, like, and little go-karts for sows.
Oh, God,
And
yeah.
like, it's like, you don't have, like, your medical condition isn't a real thing. Like, you are your medical condition.
Obesity is what puts you in that fucking, because we've got them as well. Down the end of my road, every other day I see this fucking wagon of a woman, and she's like, squeezes herself onto this little scooter, and she's just whipping across the road. And it's like, if you are too fat to walk, lose weight. Don't get four wheels.
No,
Just fucking lose. Stop eating. Stop.
and you're too big for the fucking thing that you're on because you're
Oh,
spilling off the side.
yeah, exactly. Can't even keep yourself on there.
Reminds me of like the they have these parades where these little fucking dudes with little weird chimp hats ride on scooters. That's what it looks like. It's like, did you? It's a joke for them. They know they're riding on a little scooter. This is supposed to be adult size, and like, you need two of them
Exactly.
side by side. I
Oh, yeah,
mean,
it's like when they squeeze into airplane seats.
come on.
I need a
Buy my
seat for each
suit
cheek.
or
Yeah.
buy. Yeah, exactly. Me and my wife, we took a trip to Maui before COVID hit, and I
Yeah.
promised we'd never fly coach again for that
Oh,
very fucking
wow.
reason. They're like, no, we'd like, I'm like, what? No, I'm a bastard. Yes, I will sit up here in first class. Later, peasants.
Yeah. Oh, if you've got the money, for sure. I mean, I would if I could justify it. The thing is, I'm stingy as fuck. That's the thing. As soon as I'm opening my wallet and money's coming out, it best be a fucking good reason because it's killing me. I like it away in my wallet, not being spent.
Well, My wife would love if I had that spending habit. I'm more like see money, spend money. And that's what she is here for, to actually save me from myself, because if not for her, I'd be in the poorhouse. That's like the craziest thing. It's like we've been so accepting of things that you know are definitely unhealthy for people.
Yeah.
Not good. But now it's wrong for you to even mention it.
Yeah, that you got fat models and stuff, and
you're not a model, dear. I don't know what you are. You are a moving billboard. That's what you are. That's what I got you here for. Because that's all you are. And like, here's one thing. I'm not going to berate you, but if you ask me a question about health, I'm going to tell you, like, that's really not doing it. Like, you're not healthy. Like, and you know, like, what? I think there's a thing called, like, fit at every size. No, that's something that you're telling yourself. I mean, that's like when you were, like, a little kid and you asked your mom, like, Mom, am I ugly? And she says, no, you're not ugly. That is a pretty lie that you tell yourself. Your mother knows that you are ugly as God. Yeah. And she just doesn't want to hurt your feelings. Because sometimes that's what mothers have to do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You know? The thing is, there's not a lot you can say to your son when I'm saying, Mom, am I a cunt? And she's going, yeah.
Which be appreciative, but she won't do it because your mom's a liar. And a bit of a cunt. And that is another thing that, like, I appreciate. You guys can just say cunt and nobody fucking loses their cool.
Yeah, no, swear words are pretty socially acceptable. Yeah.
And that is the thing. We've gotten so hung up on words in this country.
Yeah.
And it is so bizarre. I'm like, you're really getting mad by the sound of someone's mouth. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
It's a sound. You can choose to either feel it or ignore it. I choose to fucking ignore it because it's just a fucking sound.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, words, like, we have bad words. No, they're just fucking words. Like, there's... I don't understand it.
I mean, not everyone swears in England. You know, I've got a pretty bad mouth, but you know, kids generally aren't too bad. Like, sort of when they're in school and primary school, they're not running around at the age of seven saying, "Come on, miss, you can't teach me some fucking maths or something." Like that.
No, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we all know when it is acceptable and not acceptable. Like, you're decent. You're a fucking decent human being. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know how to turn it on, turn it off.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if you even hear it in a conversation that isn't yours, people tend to get like offended. Like, I can't believe this person said that. Why? First of all, why the fuck are you listening to my conversation? Yeah. Get you a better life. And that's how I feel about that. Like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, come on. Like, these are just words, people. Relax. It'll be okay.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse. Just in general, every people, all the wet blankets, they're all just going to cry over everything, because ultimately I think most of them, they all get offended because they don't want to do anything else. You know, they don't want jobs, and they don't want to work or do anything with their lives. So it's easy just to sort of stay at home, cry about everything and say life's not fair.
Yeah, or just be one of those virtue signaling type people, just out there fighting the fight to be fighting the fight.
It's
Like, what are you talking? Like, stop that. Like, I don't need to know about that cause. And you don't really care about that cause. You just know it's going to get you some likes because, you know, you posted a picture of your mask on, peace sign. I voted 2020, you know. Yeah. How many likes can I get? Make sure I got the right filter on. Like, the lighting is bad over there. Like, you sat with that same idea with that picture for like over an hour before you actually posted it.
So not real. Just checking every single filter to make which one makes her skin look less shiny.
Look, you look like a mutant with the filter on and with the filter off, so it really doesn't matter.
The thing is, that is it. With the internet, it's, you know, there's a lot of catfish who in real life would be pure, you know, freaks of nature, but because of the makeup they can plaster on over themselves, you just don't know online, because all you've got is a webcam. You can't see through it.
No, I would say some bizarre shit. I don't know if you've ever went down the YouTube rabbit hole, but there are some videos of some lovely, I would say lovely, young Korean ladies who look like monsters until they completely change their face.
Yeah.
It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen.
They it's like a mask. Like
anime characters by the time they were done. Oh, it's, 100%. It's I mean, they're using like scotch tape on their necks and plaster. Dude, it's amazing. Like, they don't even look the same.
It sums it up.
And that's what got me thinking. That's what got me thinking about a case that happened where a guy sued his wife because he'd never seen her without makeup before they got married. And I think he got fucking catfished, like in real life. And he, I think he was suing her because he didn't want to have ugly children. And she looked like a real, like a real hyena in the face. So he was like, no, we probably have ugly babies. Because he's probably like an ugly man himself. And he's like, too ugly do not make it pretty. So he was like, I'm out. But that's, and that's the thing. It's like, makeup and all that other crazy shit and filters, like, you know, you're wasting your time because we don't care as dudes, like, we don't care.
No.
And like, it's other women put those ideas like you have to look like this. Most people don't care. But, man, knock yourself out.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you, did Trump, is everyone, you know, does anyone jump on it in the States about how we basically, you know, how it sounds like he wants to fuck his own daughter. Does anyone else jump on that as well, or is that just English people who sort of latched onto it?
No, it's a common remark here because he's very creepy with his daughter. It's
fucking weird.
Like I know if you like you appreciate your children and like you know you're proud of them.
Yeah.
No, this dude like he's borderline like just has thought about fucking.
Yeah, he wants to bend her over.
Oh, 100%.
He wants to really have a go on his daughter.
He truly believes like he can fuck any woman he wants, including his daughter. Like that's Donald for you.
Well, the thing is, I suppose if you were hanging out with Epstein, you probably do think you can fuck anyone, don't you? Really? You know.
And
woman or child.
How did that go on in this? How did that go on for so long? Is the fact that there is an island? It's not like it's like a building. It's an entire fucking island where you can just go and rape women and children.
It's a rape island.
That's all it is. And it's and you're like, hey, we're just going down here for the weekend. Like it's a trip to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm heading down to the Isle of Rape. I'm going to find a couple of underage girls and just force myself upon them.
And then the great thing, like, okay, I've raped all weekend. And then you go home and half of these guys, they have daughters the same age as the girls that they were fucking.
Yeah.
You know, victimizing, like, you're a fucking monster. How do you, like, do that? Like, it's beyond me that that's a possibility. But yet, people who have power and influence in this country knew this shit was happening.
That's the thing. It's how much more of it's going on that hasn't hit the media yet. Because there's got to be shit tons more of it.
No. Why do you think there's a Burger King? Because people got tired of going to McDonald's. I guarantee you, people got tired of going to the rape island. There's a new place out there.
Oh, yeah. There'll be rape city, you know, somewhere.
if you can do it to that scale on an island, you can do it somewhere else. Yeah. So, come on. Like, Theo Epstein, like, why? No one knows why this guy had the type of connections he did, because he wasn't, like, a real brilliant man.
No, it's because everyone else wanted him because he was, like, some fucking pimp.
Yeah, and like, hey, I got the hose. Hey, who's fucking?
You know, this one, she's just learned how to speak, mate. She's all yours.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I know you like, hey, she just got out of Girl Scouts. I know that's what you like. She got those cookies.
She's got the cookies.
Like, come on. Like, and you're like, what the fuck is going on, man? And did you see, like the pictures? Like, he's got a picture of, like, Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
dress.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he had it by his front door, didn't he? Like when people walked in.
I'm like, I low key think, like, you know, this was not only was it just a fuck island, but it was also like blackmail island. Like,
oh yeah, I got that photo must be like pure to anyone who walks in, like, I've got filth on Clinton. Like,
like he's my bitch. Yeah, that's why anything he's in the dress. I want,
you know, if he doesn't do it, I've got some shit that he is going to ruin his life.
Literally, I think it's like some weird fucking skull and bone shit. Like Bill had to like suck Theo's dick and say a, like to completion and tell her like to join. Like, I need to know how much you want this. Like, how bad are you willing to come to this island? Like, are you willing to suck my dick to have infinite girls for the rest of your life? Well, I guess I if you want me to, I'll get down. How about right here on the, you want me right here on the pecker? How about one lick? And, you know, and I can imagine Bill just on his knees, just giving his life to Theo. Just one lick, I'll do it. Just one time. But that's the most, and come on, man. Like, why are we doing this type of shit? Because money begets power, begets evil. Like, 100%. Like, that type of money, when you don't live in this world. Like, when you get to a certain level.
When you are so rich that you can buy anything in the world, you want to buy something that you can't buy. It's human nature. You always want something that's almost at the top of your budget. And if there's something, even if you're the most powerful man in the world, and there's something you can't have, you want it. It's human nature. Oh, not human nature, because you know that's a bit sick. But it's like if you win the lottery and you buy a couple of supercars, you're kind of going to be bored of buying supercars. You want to buy something else.
It's 100%.
It just I'm not saying everybody who wins the lottery is just going to become a fucking raper, but
not all millionaires rape, but all rapers are millionaires. Maybe.
I think so. Well, yeah, for kids, maybe.
No, and you're absolutely right. Like, when you have an unlimited supply of finances, nothing is solid. Everything is liquid. You can move through anything. You have no boundaries. No. So of course you're gonna be like, you know, once you're done with like possessions, then you wanna say, maybe I can start buying people.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody's got a price. I guess, let's find out. Like, because I've admitted this to myself that I'm literally going to start a hobo fighting federation once I become a millionaire. Because anybody will do something for a turkey. So I figure, this is what my calling is, to be like the WWE of hobo wrestling international.
Well, just a whole school of vets just lined up, ready to fight.
Yeah, I'm giving them purpose. I'm giving them something to do, because if you not noticed, like, the homeless population has exploded in our country here, which is an awful fucking thing. It's so bizarre, but that's what is going to happen, and we're going to have more homeless people.
I mean,
so
I'd say forget the turkey, just let them do it for a bag of drugs, because that'd be better. I think they're going to fight to the death for a bag.
Hey, meth is the drug of choice here in this country. Like, do y'all have very high like drug problem? Like I've never heard anything like what is the drug of choice?
I don't know. I mean, there is a lot of heroin addicts still, but to be honest, I'm not close enough to the street to know exactly what the general sort of drug of choice is. I know there's a good lot of them that are, you know, a big fan of heroin, but I think meth is also quite prominent. And I think they're the two big hitters, really. I think,
but definitely here is methamphetamines and prescription pills, because pharmacies love to get pills.
Yeah, oh, that's the same attitude with all of our doctors. You go to the doctor, say, I've got a pain in my neck. They go, oh, we'll take these tablets. What, can't I have a scan? No, just take these tablets. You want to manage the pain. It's like, well, no, I don't want to manage the pain. I want to get rid of the fucking pain. Take the pain away. Fucking operate on me. But mind you, you probably don't get the same as that, because healthcare is obviously fucking a bit different to our National Health Service.
But if you are insured here, they know they are pill pushers. The number one thing you can tell is, like, once you walk into your doctor's office, you start looking around at like all the stationery and all the pens and all the flyers on the wall. They'll all be from the same pharmacy or the same chemical company that makes these pills, because it's all money. Because if that pharmacy sells this many pills, we'll give you this. I mean, these pharmacists go on trips, and it's a legit thing. They're pushing drugs on people.
Yeah.
They have to hit a quota. You know, that's why you get people with 60 pill Percocet scripts. Who the fuck needs 60 pills in one 60? Script? Like, it doesn't, like, does that fucking make sense to you? Like, no. But yet you have people out here who get scripts for 60 fucking pills. Why? Because I'm getting paid, bitch.
Like, that's what it all comes down to. Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it is. Oh, man. Well, this has been a fucking great fucking conversation.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
I've appreciated it. So, folks, I want you to go ahead and plug where people can find you doing your thing, getting it out there.
Well, check me out on TikTok, Andy Blythe Live. I'm on Instagram again, Andy Blythe Live. I'm actually going to start a podcast series with all of my guest appearances. So that's why I've been recording this one. So, again, Andy Blythe Live. I think the podcast, I'm going to call it Andy Blythe Guest. So check that out. I'll be letting that out on Anchor. So eventually it'll end up on all the other platforms as well.
Outstanding. Hey, I appreciate it so much, Andy. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, sharing this time with me, dude. It's been a blast.
Anytime.
I'm pretty sure we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
If there's ever anything I can do, help out, best believe I'll be right there, dude.
Oh, appreciate that.
All right, you keep doing your thing. All right, everybody, remember, this has been episode 22 of the No Room to Talk podcast with special guest today, Andy Blythe. Hey, you know what to do. Check me out. Questions, comments, rate, review. Hey, it's been a good one.
It certainly has.